I have this flashbulb memory from my childhood. I'm standing on a diving board, looking down into 12 feet of clear water. I'm about 6, and I've been taking swimming lessons for most of the summer, and this is my first time on the diving board. And I remember distinctly, the diving board was not as high as this pulpit is off the floor, but to me, it seemed like it was forever down to the water. And then there were 12 feet more that I could see all the way to the drain in the bottom. And I remember my swimming instructor was sitting there. She was treading water. She had her arms up. "Okay, John, jump. You can do it. I'll catch you. Come on." I want to talk about trust today. If you'd have asked me, "So, John, do you trust your swim instructor?" Well, as a 6-year-old, I probably would have had a hard time having a good conversation about that question. But I think the general answer would have been, yeah, I trusted her. I mean, we'd had swimming lessons together all summer. She hadn't let me drown. We'd swam around the pool together. She caught me every time I got in trouble. I had no reason not to trust that when she said, "Yeah, I'll catch you," that she wouldn't. But still, I had a hard time jumping. And it wasn't that my swim instructor was a bad person or that I didn't trust her. It wasn't that I didn't have faith that she'd catch me. In fact, she was doing everything she could to make this first jump as easy for me as possible. She was right there under the diving board. Her arms were up. She said, "Okay, John, I'm going to count to 3 and you're going to jump. 1, 2, 3. In the end, I jumped. I was caught. By the next week, the same swimming instructor was having to remind me that I was not allowed to run to the diving board. I had to walk slowly. And no problem, jumped off the end, did cannonballs. But that first jump, it wasn't a lack of faith on my part. It wasn't a lack on my swimming instructor's part. But there was something about that leap. Christ, in today's gospel, is seeing in the same role for his disciples. Now, it's a much more mature audience, and the jump is not one off a diving board into a pool, but into faith and into trusting that the ways of Christ will be sufficient for people. But the message is the same. God is still there. Christ is still there saying, "Do not be afraid, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." There is something in Christ calling his disciples, calling us to step out in faith, to give alms, to sell what we have, to sell what they have, to give alms, to trust that when people work together and trust in God and one another, that the world can be made into a better place. That you're not going to be suckered, you're not going to fall off. There are a lot of images of God where God is somehow holding a person or holding humanity up, hanging on to them, keeping them out of danger. There are a lot of images where God is shielding humanity from the dangers that might lurk in the outside world. I was writing this sermon, and I came up with at least a half a dozen stories about ways that God might be sheltering and protecting people. And for your sake, I'm just going to tell you 2 of them, because we wanted to homestead. Sometimes, though, that image gets distorted. The opportunity for growth gets replaced by a sense that God is punishing us, that God is no longer there assuring us, but threatening. Instead of the kid on the diving board at the local pool, the image becomes the sinner walking the plank over shark-infested waters for his misdeeds. Instead of the kind swim instructor offering words of comfort, the stern God threatens, "If you don't have enough faith, the sharks will eat you." That's, I think, a distortion. That's not what Jesus is trying to say here. In fact, Jesus is very much trying to say the opposite. Jesus is trying to tell his disciples about an idea of providence, that God has a plan, that God knows more than we do what is supposed to go on. That God wants us to enter into the kingdom, but there are some leaps along the way. My swim instructor was not trying to punish me that day, and she certainly was not trying to put me in some sense of danger. That was me. That was what I was bringing to the situation. God, the swim instructor, the analogy is there, is trying to say, there are going to be leaps in life, and I will be there to catch you. It's not God's plan that people suffer. It's not God's plan that there is danger and strife in the world. But God is there to catch us. Now, that's not the end of today's gospel reading. Jesus goes on to talk about being prepared and being patient. The end of the gospel reminds his followers to stay alert. And at the risk of telling one too many childhood stories, let me try one more. When I was taking piano lessons as an 8-year-old, a couple years after the diving board incident, I'd been taking the lessons for about a year, and my piano teacher handed me the piece for my first recital. Again, one of those things that's a whole lot scarier to do the first time. And it was the first piece of music I had been asked to play that had two hands playing simultaneously. She said, the first thing you do is you learn the right hand, and then you learn the left hand, and then you put them together. Well, I thought I'd learned the right hand, I thought I'd learned the left hand. I remember being there about 4 weeks later, thinking, I've got these two, but I can't ever play them together. I can't do both hands at once. I knew, I had this vision. I had seen the organist at church sit down, put both hands and both feet on the organ, and just play. I'd watched my mom, who had played piano since she was a little girl, sit down at the piano, open up the old 1940 hymnal she had at Christmas, and play Christmas carols, and just play. And I knew that I wanted to be able to do that too, and it was so frustrating that this one piece of music, I couldn't even get both hands at the same time. And my instructor said, it takes time, it takes practice, keep working on it, keep going, you'll get there. I think this is something with all musical instruments, and in fact, with all faith, where we see how it's supposed to be. We have this vision of how the world ought to be, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, where sorrow and pain are no more. And we see ourselves working towards it, but there's this huge gap. I can't put the left hand and the right hand together. I'm not really making progress, and I don't see anything happening. I want to make beautiful music, and all I'm doing is clunking out on these keys. And like my piano teacher, Christ says, you have to keep at it. Keep your lamps lit. Keep going. We'll get there eventually. In fact, in the letter to the Hebrews, the author reminds people that this is a long process. In fact, he reminds people that Abraham received a promise for the promised land, and that he didn't ever get to live there as a person of the land. He sojourned there as a foreigner, as did his sons, as did his grandchildren. It wasn't until Moses brought the people of Israel out of Egypt that promise finally started to be fulfilled. The author of the Hebrews starts out our reading with this great line about faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Sometimes our faith is a leap of faith. Sometimes faith requires that we keep going, we keep working, even when it seems like we're never going to get from one hand and then the other to both hands playing together. But in all cases, God is waiting with outstretched arms, with words of encouragement, knowing that we have what it takes. Even when we're not sure, God is sure that we have what it takes, and He will be there to bring us through safely to the end. Amen.